EXO Takeover.
Welcome back to another episode of EXO Takeover, and today I'm joined with the one, the only, Chelsea, aka Nihilust. Is that how you say it?
It's actually Nihilust, but you know, yeah. That also works. Works just fine.
That's how I say it in my head. I just like Nihilust.
Yeah. That's how my phone literally like announces my name on Instagram, because I have Siri, like when I have my AirPods, like That's how she pronounces my name. So I was like, okay, yeah, Nihilust, why not?
Well, it's been 5 years since we last did EXO Takeover, and you was a part of it. We've got another OG guest.
Yes, and I had terrible communication skills. It was so awkward, but I feel like I'm still awkward, but at least I can communicate now, I think.
Well, at least we're getting there, maybe in another 5 years.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I've got a few questions for you, and then obviously in traditional style of EXO Takeover, we'll finish it with five songs and why. And yeah, let's just kick it off with this project right here, House of Balloons. What are your thoughts on it?
House of Balloons. Like, do you want honest thoughts, or do you want like, oh my god, it's like so good, like, oh my god, I had sex with the song. Like, do you want something like that, or do you want like my raw truth?
I think raw truth, we'll go for that one.
It is a pivotal masterpiece. This is what initially started the entire, like, what, trilogy? This mixtape in particular, it is amazing. I love it. I breathe it. But can I be honest with you? Echoes of Silence of Thursday, so slept on. So fucking slept on. I'm so sorry. I know you're gonna hate me, and everyone's gonna hate me. They're gonna throw bandwagon. Okay, I'll take the tomatoes, because I love tomatoes in my salad. Okay, however, we like, okay, all the dick grinding House of Balloons get, I completely get it. It's an amazing mixtape. It has unforgettable tracks. It is literally like fucking perfect. But EOS and Thursday, come on. Calm the fuck on.
You make a fair point, but I feel like there is no Thursday or Echoes of Silence without House of Balloons.
True, very true. And this is what initially started the persona of The Weeknd, and now he's pivoting to Abel Tesfaye. It is extremely important, but I forget, like, it's so perfect. It, like, people also don't shine light to the other mixtapes. And it hurts my heart, because, like, House of Balloons is just, like, the beginning. Like, okay, we're getting started. This is who I am. This is my lifestyle. But Echoes of Silence and Thursday just pivots the story of that first trilogy just remarkably. Come on. You can't even deny that.
No, that's a fair point. But how do you think that this new trilogy compares to the original trilogy?
I saw he actually tweeted that this current trilogy is probably the better trilogy, and he did ignite some discussions, because we were like, ooh, hold on, well, what is he starting here?
In fairness, from one way of looking at it, the old trilogy only had 27 songs, not including the three bonus tracks. With this new trilogy, I think we're way over, including deluxes, we're way over 28 songs. So just from more tracks alone, fair point. In terms of depth,
I will honestly say, after intensive and intrusive thinking, that this trilogy might actually be the best yet. I don't know, something in my mind told me, the voice in my head, told me. I'm the messenger and you are the receiver, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you, but think of it as a whole, right? This current trilogy with After Hours and all of that. After Hours in itself is such a masterpiece. I think we can all agree with that. It is widely debated, like, that's his most perfect album. It's just flawless. The production is seamless. The samples, the music videos, the atmosphere. You know, I feel like personally, you know, because when I was a fan, you know, the only albums out were like Trilogy and then Kissland, and then he was shifting away to Beauty Behind the Madness. So I find it quite intriguing that he started with the trilogy and he's ending with the trilogy. So
yeah, it's a...
I would have to say, like, as somebody that's been a fan for a long time now, like, what, like 9 years? I think this, like, old head mentality is kind of like too much, because I also think people forget that as an artist, Abel's probably one of the most versatile in terms of like experimenting with sounds and stuff like that. So I think people forget like this is also a growth period for him and for us listeners to see how he's, you know, made it as an artist. So I personally think the original trilogy is the blueprint. We discussed that. We know that.
Definitely.
But this new trilogy, it's going to be phenomenal. Look at the visuals we've been getting. It's insane. Insane. You can't doubt. It's amazing.
I really loved, from the Sao Paulo event, I loved, loved, loved the transition. And I don't think this is getting enough appreciation. The transition between Wake Me Up to After Hours.
Do you see? Because I know, like, the first trilogy had very amazing transitions, but this one, it's like every song kind of, like, waves into each other.
Yeah.
And I think that was so beautiful. I nearly died. I think I watched that performance more than any video or, like, performance that he's done, because it was just so beautiful. And I understand completely why he wanted to do it in Brazil, because they have this like sing to you culture.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're great. I love the crowd, the visuals, the transitions, the music. Oh my God. Gagged.
Do you think the rest of the tour is going to be like that? Or do you think it'll be a bit different?
Honestly, from the tractions that snippets from the Brazil show has gotten, I think it's going to be different in terms of, you know, like, obviously aesthetics, visuals, sound. But I think he just, like, captivated so many new people. And I would also reckon that probably people that are hearing these snippets are going to, like, dive into the little lore. So I feel like it will be different. It will, in an amazing way. Because the visuals we've gotten in this era mixed with Donna Femme and After Hours, can you imagine how cinematic that would be? Like, if we just really think of it as a whole.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Do you think he'll perform old songs again? Or do you think that's it for the old songs? It's just this trilogy, that's it?
I'm gonna be honest, there's three albums he's performing, right? After Hours, Donna Femme, Hurry Up Tomorrow. I feel like if he performed any new songs, I would love it. I know everyone else would love it, but coming from like an honest standpoint, it won't make sense to like connect back to that trilogy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then this chapter, as you said, is what, probably like way bigger, because there's like three albums combined in this rather than like three separate mixtapes.
Yeah.
So I feel like, no, he shouldn't do that. Like, I people are really gonna like throw tomatoes at me. I totally understand. I feel like,
yeah, I see
he
where
doesn't
you're coming from.
Need
yeah.
to.
I can't imagine him, and he didn't really need to, especially at Sao Paulo. There was no that concert. None of his old songs, you know, The Hills, Can't Feel My Face, wasn't needed, because the songs are all bangers anyway.
Exactly. And I feel like it makes no sense to the timeline too, because he wants to initially like get rid of this persona and start rebranding to his actual name, which I think it's like amazing. I am a sucker for like these things. I like anything like in a religious context, spiritual context. I don't know, I'm just a girl. I love this idea of rebirth. Like, yes, like I don't know. There's something so intriguing about it too, because when I look back, when I was a fan and I listened to him, I would have never thought he'd ever want to get rid of this persona at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like I suspected something different when Starboy came out. It was like, okay, we had Kissland, you know, his first studio album, we had Trilogy. Okay, we get it. This guy is dark. You know, he's transforming R&B. When Starboy came out, you know, it was like, oh, you know, like, I think I know where he's going with this. Like, same with Beauty Behind the Madness. Like, he tried to kill himself, like, twice in the car crash. He buried himself. And then, you know, Star Boy video came out. He suffocated himself again. I was like, damn, when are we going to get a rest? You know, but now it all makes sense.
Do you think he'll get killed off again in another music video for this album?
Not in the sense, no, because, okay, like, random lore drop, because, like, this is just necessary, right? I mean, he's in, like, this coma in After Hours, right? And then Dancing in the Flames, like, you see that car crash happening. He's obviously referencing Blinding Lights and Faith. I don't think he's actually gonna die, because, like, he's already dead. Like, bro is in purgatory, like, he's, like, dead. You know, I want to see him happy. I'm sorry. I'm tired of seeing him suffering. That's my Pookie. Like, come on. We need to stop killing ourselves. You know,
so,
we need to, like, lock in now. You're in purgatory. You need to get out of there.
So would you say that you prefer Abel's more up-tempo hits like Can't Feel My Face or, like, his slower tracks like Call Out My Name?
Can I curse on here? I mean, I think I cursed before.
Yeah.
I used to be a sad ass bitch. I used to be depressed. So when that slow tempo melody came on, I was a sucker for that. But now I'm 21, my prefrontal lobe cortex, whatever, like my brain is developing and I'm like, I really don't want to be unhappy. People like really shit on Can't Feel My Face, like the upbeat songs, like, oh my God, this is too mainstream. This is not The Weeknd. It is him. Like, this is him. Listen to the lyrics. Like, they're fucking sad, even if there's an upfelt beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, people think, like, he completely changed his sound. I'm like, no, it's still there. But honestly, I'm grown. We prefer those upbeat songs. I'm sorry. I used to really love the mysterious, very dark atmosphere. But as I heal as a person, you know, like, I find those things, like, damn, because to me, music is tied a lot with nostalgia. And I'm pretty sure maybe, like, Abel himself as an artist feels like that too. Like, yeah, I created this. This was the darkest time of my life. All my fans love the darkest time of my life. But let me put out a smash hit banger. Nobody want to stream or make the charts. Like, what's happening?
So
I would be mad too.
Speaking of charts, like, is there a non-single song from any of the albums that you think should have been a single, like a lead single on the run-up to the album?
This era. To be honest, I thought Wake Me Up or Afterlife would have been the lead single. I was so sure. I think I bet with like three people. Or maybe even Sao Paulo, like that, the one with Anita. That one's really good.
I can't wait for that one. Someone on YouTube released like a live studio remake kind of thing for it, for a different one. So then I commented, we need the Sao Paulo one. Someone else then commented, that's the worst one. I was like,
the worst?
What?
We didn't even get to hear the full album to even like declare what is your favorite, what is not.
Like,
to be honest,
he could be bringing out another song with Ed Sheeran. And you're saying this one's the worst.
You think that one's the worst? Oh my God! Everyone I know says that.
I hate Ed Sheeran. I can't.
He brings, dark times, right?
Yeah, he brings nothing to the song.
Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. I would say, like, my favorite, but Abel's verse on that song is really good. I mean, of course, it's his fucking song.
Yeah.
Of course it's good, right?
Like, I do like the one Losers with Labyrinth. I do like that one. In terms of his collaborations with British artists.
I see what you mean. Maybe that's why you also feel annoyed. Like, oh my God, Ed Sheeran. I hear him all the time.
Ed Sheeran,
if you're watching this, we love you, Pookie. We're sorry.
Nah, we don't.
We're so sorry.
It should be you retiring, not The Weeknd.
No.
So,
you know, no, I think that's the only one that I really think that should have been, like, a lead single, like, Wake Me Up or Afterlife.
I feel like, I think I said this Maria or someone else, that the way Blinding Lights blew up, I feel like if you'd have swapped that and had Save Your Tears as the lead single, I feel like that would also have blown up the same.
But if we got, but like, think of it like this, right? Could Save Your Tears save and bring everyone together during a worldwide pandemic? We were already sad in 2020. I was texting my ex, like, I miss you. Can you come back to me? So if I had Save Your Tears, that would have set me back healing, like, what, another 5 years? So think of it like this. Pandemic, everyone's sad. Everyone's literally dying. It's a little pandemic. Blinding Lights was like an optimistic song, like a really optimistic song. Nurses were listening to it, teachers, kids. I seen fucking dogs jumping up in the air listening to the song. Come on. So imagine Save Your Tears instead of Blinding Lights. Everyone literally would have just, they wouldn't heal at all.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. But like, if you took the pandemic out of it, and then just swapped them two around, I feel like it could have had that potential. Because it still blew up, even when the album came out, even after, it still kind of blew up. And I feel like if you'd swapped them around, they would have, it still would have blown up.
To be honest, I get it. Because even after the pandemic, when was that? Like, what, 2021, 2022?
Yeah.
I was still missing my ex, so.
So it made no difference.
Literally. But I'm joking. I honestly, like, I really didn't, like, have an ex in, like, that year. I was, like, single. But, like, I really wanted to, like, relate to the song. So I was like, I'll just love someone and see if I can get creative inspiration out of it. Wow, I wonder who that was influenced by. But no, honestly, I'm so happy. Like, it wasn't, like, anything serious. I just, like, have really bad attachment issues. If, like, if I really think about it, if After Hours or, like, one of the fucking albums came out last year, oh, it would have been over for me. It would, like,
fair
actually,
enough.
I would have been over.
Wait, we did get the Idol soundtrack last year.
Oh, yeah. Fucking amazing. I don't care what anyone said about the show. The soundtrack was amazing. I personally love the Idol. I was really fucking scared when people were, like, you know, talking about it, because I think they premiered it in Cannes.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my god, they have this scene. And I was like, oh my god, what is he doing? And then, like, they went through the whole, like, you know, rewrite of it. But I'm like, if this is about a cult leader finding a fucking singer, why would I be focused on the singer and not the cult leader?
It's so,
like rest aside, like, I am really, like, curious of what, you know, Jocelyn's backstory would be, but I think that the music articulates that just fine.
Yeah.
You can already assume it. It's so, like, cliche. Like, you can get how she grew up, what she's seen, you know, and then, like, either way, they would still be lead actors, you know, main roles.
Do you think it deserved another season, or are you like, yep, it's over, okay, move on?
I don't think there's actually another season coming.
Saying. I think, do you think there should have been another one?
Because what was that ending? What did she, what was her name, Leah? What did she leave on Jocelyn's bed? We don't know. That little envelope, like, what did it say? And, like, what, does Tedros just become, like, her pet? Like, bro, you're a cult leader. You, like, you made these actual idols. No pun intended. So what are you doing? Like, why did Tedros just submit to her that easily?
I don't even know. I swear they got, like, rid of one episode as well. There was meant to be, like, six or something, and they only did five. But I think the soundtrack really made up for other people. Like, I love the soundtrack. I love the idol, but I also really love the soundtrack.
I think the soundtrack everybody loved. Like, it was just amazing.
You know, with, like, the 80s kind of stuff still continuing on. And, like, with that 80s-inspired sound of, like, After Hours, Dawn FM, and some of the idol. What's your take on it? Do you think he should go a different route? Should he stay with the 80s stuff? Should he go back to R&B? What?
Like for his like upcoming projects or like the idol or whatever.
For his upcoming one.
Honestly, I can't really give an answer to that because I would literally love to see him do like more synth pop, synth wave stuff. I reckon he should even do some like cathedral inspired things. I don't know, he has the voice for like, I don't know if everyone goes to church, but like I used to.
Like some
Like
gospel stuff.
yeah, like when the choir, like, well, not doing a choir, but something like that melody or like a cathedral kind of like vibe. But
If
honestly, like, I feel like as an artist, if you stick to one genre for all your, career life,
then you're not growing.
no. But I think Abel, like himself, is the only artist I've seen like touch nearly like every genre.
Yeah.
Even metal. False Alarm. That was like his little like
That's
metal.
a
Come
banger
on.
song. That's
It
such a good song that I don't get
is a great
like.
song. I love it.
I love the TikTok videos of it where it's got no background music and it's just him performing it live.
I actually got an account on my Reels and it was like False Alarm Daily. Shout out to that person. And it's just like that clip you're talking about every day. Like, I was like, oh my God, the divine messages are so in today. Like, I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people take that clip and they're like, oh my God, this is the worst song. But I'm
It's
like,
so
no,
funny.
like, how are you supposed to like perform that live? Like, be serious.
I might have to give that account a follow after this.
God, I don't know if like my likes are just like people posting the same thing 100 times, so that is probably like way down there somewhere.
Fair enough. But yeah, I think in terms of questions, that is it from me. So we're gonna keep up the traditional EXO takeover style and take it over to you to let us know your top five songs and why.
Okay, well, I'm gonna do everybody some justice. My top five is this five. Hold on, let me see how much this is. One, two, three, four, five. Actually, five. Everybody, open your Apple Music or your Spotify and go to Dancing in the Flames. Dancing in the Flames, Dancing in the Flames Acoustic, Dancing in the Flames Live from Sao Paulo, Dancing in the Flames Instrumental, Dancing in the Flames A Cappella. Get your streams in now. Get them in. Y'all been slacking. Everybody's like, Sao Paulo, new era, come tomorrow, come tomorrow. No, you're gonna stream. Do your assignments. That's my five songs. And I'm being so dead ass. You're laughing, but I'm so dead ass.
I just
Everybody go stream. Come on.
I wasn't expecting it. As soon as you said five songs, I straight away thought of My Dear Melancholy, but I was like, that's six songs.
These EXO fans need to lock in. Stop crying over her or him. You need to lock in and get in your streams. Y'all be like, this album need to hurry up. The streams need to hurry up tomorrow. Matter of fact, make it today. So those are my five songs. Everybody go stream. And I'm being so serious.
Fair enough. Just a real quick question. Do you feel like Dancing in the Flames has the potential to be like Blinding Lights?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I feel like right now, right? There's just so much music coming out. Like, people compare this to After Hours. Like, oh my God, like, how did like his first like few singles like do like an incredible amount of streams, incredible amount of work? And it's because everybody was scared to put out an album during that time because they thought people wouldn't, stream in a worldwide catastrophe, right? I feel like people are forgetting that this is just the start. Like, I don't know why people are expecting him to like reach 1 billion views overnight. Like, look at this. Look at it this way. Put out a song right now, right? You think you're gonna get 1 million streams on day one? Please. Let's clock that T. No, but all seriousness, it has so much potential. When the album like fully comes out, I think that's when people start recognizing, like, hey, wait, this song is actually really good. And I'm like, you just realized this?
Yeah.
You just realized it.
It's crazy that I think it was Dylan Jackson who said when he was when he released his like reaction to the song that it has the potential, and I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I can see that. I can see where it's coming from. It does. It's just it takes a while.
It does. And like, also think about it like this, right? A lot of people are, you know, they just got into his lore, or they're probably finding him based off like somewhere, TikTok, I don't know. You gotta also take into consideration there's like so much new people too that they probably won't even understand what the music video is trying to convey or anything like that. But I also feel like people are just like too focused on like how it's going to do rather than like the entire thing as a project, you know?
Yeah.
People are just like a little bit too obsessed with it. Like, he's getting paid either way. You
True.
know, like
True.
that
He's got that.
mansion is
He's
getting
got
paid
that.
off, the tour is getting paid off. What are you worried about?
He's got
You
that
know?
Apple money as well now from his fish.
Exactly. So even if it did flop or what people are saying, he got that back. What did you get? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're mad. Like, I would be mad too. But it has so much potential. People forget, like, you know, since it's just like a portion piece of Hurry Up Tomorrow, like, I don't know why they expect like it's so easy to get that
Yeah.
overnight. Like, what artist do you know does that? Don't, that was a rhetorical question. Don't be in the comments like, well, my fave. We're not talking about your fave right now.
Well,
We're not. This is so unserious.
I feel like you've came, you've ate and you've left no crumbs. But
Oh my god, you know about this slang? Oh my god,
I'm
period.
not. I'm down. I'm down with the kids. I'm not old. But
How old are you?
I'm 24 in 2 months.
Okay, period. I thought you'd be like, what is she saying? I know I'm chronically online. Hello. Very much.
It's been so good to have you back on the show after 5 years. Thank you so much for being a part of it again. Once again, Chelsea Nihlust. That's it
Hello, it's
for.
NY Lust. Get it right. New York Lust. Just kidding. All love here.
That
We
is
love
it for
him.
this week's episode of EXO Takeover. Join us again next week where we'll have more special guests and continue to talk everything EXO.
Bye, love you. Stream, stream, stream.